Come, let's read together. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? For if, when we are God's enemies, friends, it is not just we are sinners. We're actually enemies of God. We have no desire, no interest in God. We actually tell God, get out of the way. Not interested in it at all. That's what sin is. No interest at all. Seeing no relevance for God in my life. That's what sin is. So it's not just sin. It's not just actions. It's not just deeds. Sin is having a different posture of the heart, of the life. And they're scary, friends. And that's why we are the enemies of God in that sense. But friends, you know, not just this is our problem. Because every problem has a consequence, has an outcome to it. What is the consequence or outcome or result you and I need to grapple with? The outcome is that, friends, we are powerless to help ourselves. All right? We are unable to help ourselves, really. And so Romans chapter 5, verse 6, okay, let's read together. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We are unable to help ourselves. We are totally incapable, friends, of helping ourselves. That's the reality of it all. And that's the reason why, friends, you notice here, Paul writes further in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19 like this. Come, let's read. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Friends, it is that evil nature, the sin nature in us, friends, that results in us doing things again and again that is totally detrimental to us in our hearts, in our lives. If I may quote, actually, from R.C. Sproul, this great author as well as Bible teacher who had just passed away recently at the age of 78, actually. And he talks about sin like this. In fact, there are many quotes, great quotes of his you can use, actually. But he talks about sin like this, and allow me to read what he says, okay, to us. He says, when we sin, we not only commit treason against God, but we also do violence to each other. Sin violates people. There is nothing extra about it. By my sin, I hurt human beings. I injure their person. I despoil their goods. I impair their reputation. I rob from them a precious quality of life. I crush their dreams and aspirations for happiness. When I dishonor God, I dishonor all people who bear his image. Is it any wonder then that God takes sin so seriously? Sin violates people. It is not, friends, can I say, sin violating other people. Sin violates we ourselves on the inside. Sin injures us on the inside. And that's a reality. And that's the reason why, friends, there are so many times things that we should not be doing, we end up doing it. Things that we should not be saying, we end up saying it, isn't it? Things that, for example, this Orang Putih gentleman, all right, should not be saying to this poor airline staff. He belts off again and again all kinds of unkind, rough, rude, abrasive words against this poor lady who are just coming alongside to just ensure that people there are happy, okay, at least, okay, as they queue up to be a serve like this. And so she went out of her way, and going out of the way, poor lady, she got scolded like crazy. I'm sure, when she went back home that evening, she must have felt terrible, isn't it? So I prayed for her, actually, Lord have mercy, comfort her, encourage her. Sadly, I wasn't around to just offer a word of comfort and encouragement. And that's what I should do, isn't it? Sometimes, because of the bad experience, we go wild, we go crazy. Why should we do things like this? Give another example. Interesting, on the same flight with us, okay? And so we had to check into a hotel to stay for a night and then come back again the next day, okay, to board the flight. And at a hotel, we found out this Indian girl, right, with her family with us. And so we're chatting and talking, and Doris, as always, very vivacious. She started a conversation with her. I followed through for a while and found out she's from Malaysia, now lives in Melbourne, okay? And she said, you know what, right? The first time I traveled with Malaysian, we moved to Melbourne, to live in Melbourne from Malaysia, many years now. All right? Many years ago, we traveled with Malaysian Airlines. And what happens when we boarded the flight? Our seats are all taken up. And so this is crazy. After that, we never traveled with Malaysian Airlines again. And now, many years later, we decided to give Malaysian Airlines a try. What a try, she said. Okay, all right, in my prayer, I pray for God, have mercy. God, speak to her. Help her to give Malaysian Airlines another chance again. All God's people who agree, say, hey, not very convincing, amen. Are you Malaysians or not? You support Malaysia, isn't it? Let's give them a chance again. It's to turn around prayerfully and do something good and wonderful. Sometimes, friends, reality of life is that experiences may not be good all the time. Hello? If experiences are good all the time, if experiences are good all the time, there's unreal life. All right? Just yesterday, I prayed for a couple at the wedding dinner. Okay? And I've told the congregation yesterday, all right, excuse me, I was watching time and how the thing passed by. I had to squeeze as soon as possible, rush off, okay, to go for the wedding dinner. Why? Because I said I have to say grace. If I'm not there to say grace, wedding dinner cannot start. Okay? And so the host said, please come at 7 o'clock. I said, no way, I'm preaching, I come at 7 o'clock. So I negotiated with him for 7:30. Okay? So I told Pastor Chris, watch me, watch my eyes. When I give you a signal, there's a time I rush off. Okay? There's a time you take over. And that's what we did. And so you know what? I went there. What happens? My goodness, got a massive traffic jam. Okay? When I arrived at 7:40 instead of 7:30, he said, we're waiting for you, Pastor. Cannot start. How to start? So I rushed in knowing that it will take me many minutes to find a place to park. What to do? I have to do valet parking. Okay? Please forgive me, church. Is it okay? I normally don't do that, lah. Okay? Especially for a pastor, isn't it? But when they rush for time, everyone, top-notch, so many Tan Sris and Datuks and Datins were all there. You have no choice but to rush in to do that and rush in to say the grace so that the thing can start. But see, the realities of life, things don't happen all the time smoothly. And then at the end, we have to rush off early. I said, excuse me, those on my table, we have to rush off to come tonight, get ready by myself to preach, okay? And then we met a couple who have been attending that cell group in the table that we sat in. And they said, you know, sometimes how come we wait for so long for prayers to be answered? And they are new believers, just only two-year-old Christians. And I said, you know what? That's the way God stretches us, our muscles, isn't it? Because in everything, God answers us just like this. God never trains us to be strong. All those who agree, say, it is like training our kids, isn't it? We have to allow our kids to go through some challenges and difficulties. That's how we build muscles in them, help them to be strong. But if in everything our kids have it their way, all the time, friends, our kids will grow up never strong. In fact, our kids will grow up very presumptuous and very proud. Hello? So the moral of the story is, it's good to allow our kids to suffer a little bit. Hello? Yeah, it's good for them. Really, you know? Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah. Okay. And so what happens is that you and I need to experience the mercies and the grace of God upon our lives. Why? Because out of that, actually God drops something into our spirit. All right. To build in us a spirit of perseverance as we press on with God. And so we wrestle with issues of sin and wrong in our lives. And that's the reason why, friends, we find that we are caught in a bind. We cannot help ourselves. And therefore, what is the solution? The solution is this, friends, God himself has to intervene. That he comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us, okay, like this, all right? For each one of us like this, okay? And the solution for all of us is that God himself intervene, okay? Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. All right, come, let's read together. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ has, and that's what we celebrate, friends, this Advent season. Advent season is a time where God steps into the world and make himself available, all right, so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, like just now our brother Cheng, all right, who shared and who sang just now in a skit. I've done so many wrong things in the past. It's terrible. What can I do? Is there any hope and help available? This is, friends, the amazing thing about the Advent season and Christmas that we celebrate. That is because God himself steps in and draws us into a wonderful relationship with him. We by ourselves, we have no way of redeeming ourselves. And that's what, friends, human beings invented religions of all form and manner. Religions are just different ways and means of human attempts to try to reach out to God. But it's God who is altogether holy. Himself has to step in, knowing that we cannot ever reach out to him. He steps in by taking the form of man in the person of Jesus Christ and make himself available so you and I, friends, could be forgiven of our sins, so you and I, friends, can be restored So God himself, knowing that it is impossible for us to help ourselves, he intervened. And that's the reason why, friends, it shows the love of God, isn't it, for all of us. Right? John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. One of the most favorite verses of scripture that we like to quote, isn't it? He so loved us all. All right? Imagine the extent, friends, God would do by offering his one and only Son to the whole world, to you and I. I mean, how many of us would be willing to sacrifice our own children, our own son or daughter? But God himself did it, friends. And that's the reason why, church, we as Christians, when we talk about sufferings, it is one whereby God is not one who doesn't know about sufferings. It is not just we suffered, friends. God himself suffered. And that's why he understands. That's why he can come, all right, into our hearts and our lives and make a difference in a wonderful manner. And that's the reason why, friends, for you and I, therefore, there is hope in the future that he steps in to make an amazing and a radical difference for all of us in our lives. And friends, you know, that's the solution that God himself has provided for you and I, therefore, as a result. If this is the case, friends, how should we respond, therefore? All right? How should we respond? Firstly, friends, it is about repentance, resulting, therefore, in forgiveness for us. Okay? Right? What is the word repentance? It comes from the Greek word, actually, metanoia. And metanoia means a change of the mind. All right? That, for example, we are moving in a certain direction. And then when we realize that we are lost, that is a change of mind, change of direction to take the right course and right directions. How many of us, we have been lost before in our driving? See your hands. Wow, so many. God bless you. I've been lost many times as I drive even through Malaysia. And there are times when we get lost as we drive to country roads. I told Doris, you know, thank God we are lost. Why? Because we travel into all those places. I said, fantastic, we get to travel to new places we had never traveled before. Hello? Instead of swearing, cursing, I'm really upset and angry. Why do that? I told Doris, you know, what fantastic view. Look around. Places we've never been at all before. You know? And more than that, I told Doris, you know, been a past, been spiritual. You know, Doris, we've got a chance to pray for all these people around. Wow, fantastic. Isn't it? Yeah, make your prayer drive. Okay? Make your drive a prayer drive. Hello? Isn't it? Make your loss. Okay? Make it into something positive. Isn't it? That God is allowing you to be purposely lost so they can pray for some of these people. And in fact, one country road we drove, all right, somewhere here in Malaysia, all right, every single house we pass by, we see idols and shrine in every single home. I told Doris, fantastic, we got a chance to pray for them. Because if not, who would pray for them in a sense? You know what I mean? If we are not confronted with the reality of the lostness of people. And so, friends, we rejoice and we celebrate the grace of God, isn't it? That God would allow us, therefore, right, to be lost like this. And therefore, friends, sometimes when we're lost, we're going to do a reverse backwards, right? It's repentance. It is turning around, turning the other way around. And that's what repentance is all about. It's a change of the mind. And that's what, friends, Jesus did when he came preaching, all right? There in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Come, let's read. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Change your mind. Have a different direction altogether about the way you are going so that you will be able, as you believe the good news, you'll be able to embrace the grace and the goodness and the blessings of God. And likewise, we find it, friends, here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, in the preaching of Apostle Peter. Come, let's read together. Peter says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't it amazing, friends? That as we repent, God will forgive. God will wipe our sins, however terrible and bad it may be. And that's why for our brother Chen just now who acted, I've done so many wrong things. Is there any help? Any hope? Any future? What a terrible thing that I have done. I've shared with you the story of Noor Hisham, the Singapore taxi driver. I've gone in and out of prison. Today, I'm paying for the sins of my past because of all the nonsense I did. Friends, they feel condemned, not just guilty, They feel totally helpless now in a situation that I have to pay for the rest of my life. But friends, you know, the amazing grace of God is this. Jesus Christ has come and make it possible for our sins to be wiped out, our sins to be forgiven. Sometimes I do come across some people, they're really very good people, very upright, seeks to do everything that is right, you know, and it's wonderful. And sometimes this kind of people would tell me, you know, Christianity makes things too simple. Just like that, one confession, everything is all wiped off. No, 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 it shouldn't make it so simple. Shouldn't be like that. But friends, you know, we sometimes can misunderstand what the Christian faith is, thinking that sometimes we are good and reasonably good, therefore God has no choice but to accept me. But friends, sometimes when we think we are good, there's a sense of self-righteousness in us, and self-righteousness is as hateful to God as someone else have done a lot of wrong things. Hello? Sin is not doing wrong things. Sin is not action. Sin is missing the mark. And if you miss the mark by 0.001%, it is same as someone else who has missed the mark by 99%, friends. It makes no difference to God, all right? And that's the reason the Bible says, for all have sinned, and we've all fallen short of God's standard perfection. And only God himself, through Jesus Christ, will make it possible, friends, provide the answer, the solution for us to be restored back so that our sins can be wiped out. Not only that, friends, amazingly, Peter says, times of refreshing may come from God. How many of you, feel there's a need for you to be refreshed, renewed, on and off sometimes? Can I see your hands? Okay, all right. I would like to put two hands. There are times I just felt the need to really be renewed and refreshed by the Lord because of the pressures, all right, the demands of life and living. And that's real and that's true. Particularly, friends, can I say, when sins and wrongs continues to stare in our face and condemn us. Sometimes we feel so terrible and bad for whatever we have done. We feel there is no hope at all, no future at all, friends. Can I say, there is that hope and the future available. And that's the reason why the hymn that we sang, right? For all the sins that the blood of Christ has washed away, wash it clean and complete for all of us, and therefore we stand, friends, righteous before God, so that we are forgiven, so that, friends, we can start all over again in a new friendship and relationship with God in Jesus Christ like this. This is amazing things, friends, for all of us, that God himself has provided the answer, the solution for all of us in our sins, been forgiven, therefore. And therefore, as a result, friends, we find that forgiveness produces reconciliation. All right, and that's how Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, like this. Come, let's read together. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now we've been reconciled. Now we've been put right with God in a wonderful manner in this new relationship in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, from repentance, it will lead on to reconciliation in a wonderful, right, relationship again of knowing and embracing this God in a wonderful. And that's why Paul writes to us again, Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, again together, church. For if, when we are God's enemies, we are reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. And so, friends, we find that repentance produces at the end reconciliation. But more than that, friends, can I say, there is a process involved in this whole thing. And the process is that the whole thing starts in repentance, a change of the mind, a turning around and turning back towards God. And so, friends, when there is repentance, it produces reconciliation where a relationship, all right, is brought back in the right way with God. And that, friends, reconciliation results in restoration. Restoration of all that God wants to give to us. At the heart of it, what is that restoration? Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, like this. Come, let's read together. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, friends. Ultimately, friends, you know, the amazing thing in this reconciliation is a restoration God will bring, and the restoration is about peace with God. Friends, you and I need to know, unless there is a peace with God, there will be no peace of God. And that's the reason why many times we struggle with a sense of lack of peace in our lives. And when there's a lack of peace, it means we are not at ease with ourselves. And if we're not at ease with ourselves, we are at dis-ease with ourselves. And if we are at dis-ease with ourselves, that's why it leads to disease. That's why dis-ease and disease are spelled exactly the same. Hello? Isn't it? And it does show in our body. Give an example. Psychosomatic diseases, the doctors, medical science will tell you. All right, psychosomatic diseases are diseases such in the mind, psycho, and it shows in the body, soma. Okay? And so therefore, friends, you know, psychosomatic diseases such in the mind, it shows in the body. One example, all right, of the psychosomatic disease is that of peptic ulcer. So if you're a person who worries and worries a lot, that even when there is no worry, you still worry that you have no worry, I assure you, such a person will end up having peptic ulcer, because I've seen a clear case right before me that this person is really a worrying kind all the time. And because of worrying day in and day out over all kinds of things in life, this person developed peptic ulcer. And I saw this person vomiting huge amount of blood from her in a process like this. And this person has been rushed to hospital to be attended to. Psychosomatic disease, that will show. Why? Because there is no ease in our life, a lack of peace. But friends, to have that peace, we must first make peace with God. And this is an amazing thing that God has done in Jesus Christ. He comes to offer us peace to all of us. And because when we have this peace with God, it results in us having the peace of God. And that's how you notice, friends, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 tells us like this, which we read earlier. Come, let's read together again. Talk about Jesus. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that brought peace, okay, all right, to us was upon him, and by his stripes, therefore, we are healed. Friend, Jesus Christ went through all of it, suffering, punishment, pain, and eventual crucifixion, friends, all for your sake and my sake, so you and I can have the peace of God. And without that, friends, there'll be no peace. And that's what, friends, Advent season is in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, that we read together just now, one last time, church, together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests. See, friends, God has come. He wants to offer us peace. But before we can have the peace of God, we must have that peace with God. And that peace with God is made available in and through the person of Jesus Christ, friends. And he stands, therefore, for you and me, opening his arms to all of us and say, will you be ready to receive it, ready to accept it, ready to embrace it, and ready, friends, to know at the end of it all, once we have the peace of God, then there is restedness in us. There's a deep sense of security, a deep sense of contentment that he wants to bring to all of us. Let me close with this. There is a prison in the United States called Angola Prison, one of the toughest prisons in the whole of the United States. In fact, it is considered a top security prison. Over 5,000 people incarcerated in that prison, all in there for life. No parole. And they're never going to get out because of the crimes that they committed. In fact, 15% of the prisoners in that Angola prison in the state of Louisiana in the United States, 15% of these are in death row, waiting for the death sentence to be meted out to them. And you know what, friends? Over 5,000, every prisoner, new prisoner that checked in, everyone is given a penknife to protect themselves. Shows how dangerous that place is. Blood splattered all over the floor, on the walls, on the ceilings as well. That's the reality of such a prison like this in Louisiana. You know, friends, several years ago, one gentleman went up to the prison warden as well as to the governor of the state and said, would you allow me to take over the prison to run in the way I think best by the grace of God? If you allow me to do that. Would you do that? And friends, it's amazing to allow him to do whatever he has done. In the process of many years, friends, he has ended up placing Bible in every cell in the prison. So much so that, friends, you know, one by one came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when my good friend, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, was there speaking at a chapel, you know how many people were there at the chapel? 700 prisoners were there at the chapel. And many of these prisoners have not only come to faith in Christ, they've gone on to do Bible study. A few of these even enrolled in theological training inside prison. And I believe because they're not going to get out anymore, they jolly become pastors in prison. Hello? That's a great place to be pastoring. Why? You know why? Because what happens, then they can all be involved in real, running the real cell ministry. Say, UMC is a cell church. Listen, our cell groups, I call it pseudo cells. That one's a real cell. Listen, that's a place you can run cell group to go and start. You know, and it's a great place. Why? Because you've got all the time in the world to reach out to them. They all be chow liao, can't run away at all. You know what I mean? It's a fantastic place for you to do evangelism. Some more, you know what? Food, housing, all provided. What a deal, is it? What more can you ask? You see? And you know what, friends? When you bring them to faith in Christ eventually, you know what? Prisoners make world-class intercessors. You know why they make world-class intercessors? Because they got all the time in the world to pray. Hello? Are you there? Isn't it? And so train and teach them, equip them, reach out, and turn the whole prison around in a wonderful way so that prisons become churches for Jesus Christ and all God's people say. Now, how many now want to join me to go to prison? My goodness, no one here. Listen, I've been to prison before. I mean, voluntarily, I mean, which is so important, isn't it? All right? To reach out, to share Jesus with so many people around there that badly need a touch from the Lord in a wonderful manner, friends. And so, church, you and I are given this opportunity, this privilege. And at the end of the chapel, Dr. Ravi spoke to the worship leader, only in his 30s. Only in his 30s, young man, and said to him, young man, how does it feel like at your age, in your 30s, to be in prison for the rest of your life? It must be terrible, isn't it? You know what he said? He said, sir, if you knew the kind of man I was outside, and it takes a prison to turn my life around on the inside, I don't mind being here. This is a worship leader, powerful worship leader used by God, and chapels every day. And I believe he will end up becoming a pastor of the church that is a prison. If you know who I was outside, I don't mind at all to be inside. In fact, I discovered meaning, purpose, life on the inside. And then he adds on this, friends. He says to Dr. Ravi, pray for my parents outside. They think they are free. They are not free. They need the peace of God. I have the peace of God by His grace. It is all by His grace that it requires a prison to turn my life around. But praise to God, even though I'm hemmed in all around, deep down there is a peace of God because I've made peace with God. Brother, pray for my parents outside. They badly need the peace of God. Do you and I have the peace of God, my friends? We may look good on the outside. We may walk free on the outside. But is there deep down within a real peace of God? But before you and I can have the peace of God, we have to make peace with God. Because unless we make peace with this God, this peace of God will not come to us. And friends, the invitation therefore is open to us this evening or this morning to encounter God in the wonderful in Jesus Christ. And that's what this Advent season is all about. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, friends, Jesus Christ who has come, He, the Prince of Peace, He stands here in our midst and He offers us peace. And that's why Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Trust in me. friends, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stretches out his hands and he offers you and I peace. That's a step you and I must take, a response that you and I must show, which is to step out and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for all the wrongs. For seeing no need for you. In fact, sometimes even telling you, get out of my life. Lord, forgive me. I want to turn around. I want to repent. I want to come back to you. My friend, make this Advent season, this Christmas season, as with the best of all seasons in your life. You've never experienced this peace with God, so that you can have the peace of God. And so therefore, with heads bowed, eyes closed, wherever you're seated, if this morning you want to say yes to Jesus, at a count of three afterwards, would you raise up your hand, which is a sign simply to God and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I repent. I turn away. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Give me your peace, and he will, my friend, when we come humbly before him. And some of us may be backslided, growing cold. Maybe it is also time to recommit yourself anew and afresh, that you may too likewise have the peace of God. And so therefore, you desire to do so. Afterwards, at a count of three, wherever you're seated downstairs or up in the gallery, wherever you're seated, at a count of three, will you raise up your hand high so I can see your hand? I want to pray for you. Are you ready? At a count, wherever you are, saying yes to Jesus, embracing the peace that he offers, will you raise up your hands? Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone? Firstly, downstairs. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, downstairs, let me scan. Yes, thank you. Another hand. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Keep your hands high up with you so I can see your hand. I want to pray for anybody else downstairs. Yes, thank you. Right at the end, that side. Thank you. Okay. What about up? Yes, another hand over there. Thank you. All right. What about up in the gallery? All right. Can I see your hands? Anyone here? Raise up a hand high. Could I see your hands? I'm going to pray for you. Is anyone? Right at the end over that side. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Raise a hand high. All right. We're going to pray for you. My friend, this is a very precious moment. God is here. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes to offer us peace. Yes, thank you. Another hand. Thank you. Yes. So those who put up your hands, will you say after me this prayer? Aloud. Church, will you join in to encourage these people? Aloud this prayer together. Say after me aloud with you together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and praise you that you, the Prince of Peace, you have come into this world to offer me peace. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say sorry to you. I want to repent. I want to turn around. Please forgive me of my sins. And right now, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and fill me with the Holy Spirit and your power so that I may live as a Christian, as a child of yours from today onwards. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the peace that you bring, that today I can make peace with God, and therefore I can have the peace of God. Fill me with this peace from today onwards, forever and ever, that I may rejoice and celebrate in your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray you by your Spirit will seal it deep in the hearts and lives of those who pray this prayer. Whether their hands are up or not, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, work in the hearts of all these precious ones, oh God, you know it all. And seal it by your Spirit and bring to pass this new birth and new life, oh God, I pray. Fill them with your peace, your love, and your joy. To know that their sins are forgiven. To know they can have a brand new start with you from today onwards, oh God, I pray. And lead them into a rich and a dynamic experience from today onwards, oh God, I ask our Father. Bless all these precious ones, oh God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name.